Since 1901, Limbaugh has been laying the foundation for a better world through the design, installation, and maintenance of MEP systems. This podcast takes a deep dive into our business, the evolution of Limbaugh throughout the years, and the people that are essential to moving us forward. Listen in as co-hosts Kate Mistry and James Swanson explore Limbaugh's culture, legacy, and the stories that have shaped Limbaugh's footprint as a leader in the MEP industry.
Welcome to Limbaugh Unlocked. I'm your host, Kate Mistry, and today's episode is one we've been looking forward to. It is the season 5 finale, and it marks the beginning of something special. Limbaugh will soon be celebrating its 125th anniversary. Since 1901, we've been delivering systems that keep buildings and the people inside them performing when it matters most. But this isn't just about looking back at where we've come from. It's also about where we're going. So with me today are three incredible guests who've had a hand in shaping the journey that we've been on. Let's meet them.
Thanks for having us, Kate. So yes, Katie Massey, Director of Marketing. I started my career with Limbaugh back in 2016, right out of college. I worked for the local Ohio branch as the sales and marketing expediter, where I partnered with our sellers and our ops teams to really understand the business, understand who we work for, and the value behind what we do at a local level. A few years later, I expanded my role and I took on more of recruitment. I was going to career fairs and really representing the brand at different industry events and helping recruit, join local talent to our team. And then 2020, I stepped into more of a corporate position, overseeing the entire marketing ecosystem. So when it comes to messaging and communications, the digital, and of course, public relations now too. So I've been around the company for almost 10 years now, and I've seen the evolution, and it's exciting to have a front row seat to where we are today.
Absolutely. And we will jump into that in more detail shortly. But Matt, you've been involved in growth and acquisition since 2017, but even before that. So give us some insight into your history.
Yeah, I joined the company in my current role in September of 2017. So it's been a little over 8 years now, and a lot has obviously changed since then. I also was fortunate enough to have met the company back in early 2002 when it was still a subsidiary of Enron. And I was in a different career at a different firm. And had the privilege of working with a management team that has largely retired at this point to help buy the business from Enron and bring it back to being an independent, standalone operating entity. I think there are maybe three or four folks from that generation who are still around, including Jay. So it's been a pretty wild and interesting ride over the last 22, 23 years. I suspect the next 22, 23 years will be just as wild and exciting, but it's been a great experience.
So Matt and Jay have overlapped quite a bit. Jay, 35 years with us, right? From sales rep to regional president. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right, Kate. I started with Limbaugh in September of 1990. At that time, I was trained to be in advertising sales, and I cold called Limbaugh to sell him advertising. I wasn't that good a salesperson at the time because I didn't sell him the ads, but they gave me a career opportunity to join the company to sell preventive maintenance agreements. Did that for a number of years, was promoted to service sales manager, helped launch a performance contracting initiative for the business. And then I became the branch sales manager of Ohio. I ran the Ohio business as branch manager, vice president, and branch manager for about 17 years. And I've been on the executive team for the last 7 years. The story's not about me, though. It's about the investment that the companies made in me and the people, the great people and mentors that enabled an advertising young person out on the streets who made a cold call to accelerate a career and become president of one of the greatest companies in the country.
Mm. Yeah, I'll say that, like, the beginning of that story, which is usually, you know, I graduated with a degree in radio, television, and film. It has sort of become a Limbaugh meme in some respects.
Yeah.
having heard Jay tell that story dozens of times in front of, you know, employees, in front of prospective acquisition partners, not only very genuine and sincere, but it really does resonate with people out in the market, and I think really does speak to what kind of organization this is.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is so rich about having this discussion with the three of you, is because you each have a really unique but powerful Limbaugh legacy. And so that's something that you can speak to, not only your personal history, but the three of you have insight into the company's history and the relationship between the personal and the professional. And we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to dive into your legacies, our legacy, our brand refresh as a company, the direction we're heading, and most importantly, how all of this delivers value for our customers, employees, and investors. And again, the three of you represent experience with all three of those people groups, customers, employees, and investors. So this is a shameless plug for what's coming next year, but think of this as a preview for our anniversary series, which we're calling Inside Mission Critical Systems, 125 Years of Progress. We get to get a sneak peek into what that's going to look like. So let's start where we've been. Company begins 1901 with Frank Limbaugh. Matt, when you look back, what values from those early days are still shaping how we serve customers today?
I would think that just the core values of a small family-owned business have carried through, you know, the last 12 decades. Mm-hmm. It obviously predates, you know, my time on Earth, much less my time at the company, but businesses like that tend to have a really strong focus on customer service, on going the extra mile, on being responsive. It always feels very personal when you're talking to the owner. And I think that's true in this industry and many other industries when you deal with a family-owned business. You know, fast forward 125 years, I think many of those qualities are still very much present within the organization, both at a corporate level on a consolidated business, but also when you start to talk about individual business units and individual leadership teams and individual local organizations, it really does, I think, feel like a collection of family-owned businesses in many respects, certainly as it relates to the engagement between Limbaugh and the customer. I think those values have persevered through the decades.
You just given us the levels of this business, right? You've talked about the company-wide culture, the company as a whole, and then drilling down a little bit into the business units and the people within the business units. So Jay, I'd like to take that lens, that perspective, and go to you with, let's go into one of those business units and let's go into it from the perspective, we're in 1990. You first joined as a sales rep. What would Limbaugh like back then? And are there any stories that still stick with you that reflect that same spirit that Matt just shared?
Sure. The legacy of the company has always been built around the family caring about, being a family and caring about each other, doing the right thing, always trying to get better. And I'm kind of outlining our core values as I go through this, because it's all about our core values. And the last one is being accountable, simply keeping your promises and doing what you say you will. Mm-hmm. About 5 years into my career, our sales team was out with a client. And the client had recently put in a new gym floor. It was a rural school district, and the gym floor, the boards were warping because they didn't have air conditioning. It was a brand new wood floor, big investment for this small rural district, and the environment was actually compromising the project that they had just done. So they engaged our sales team to solve the problem. Throughout the discussions, our team talked about providing dehumidification, which would help the floor maintain its integrity by using air conditioning. But they didn't say that we were giving an air conditioned environment. They basically made the customer believe that they were going to solve the wood floor, but the customer heard us use the words air conditioning. At the end of the project, we went and met the client. We expected them to be happy because their floor was perfect, but they were disappointed because the environment of the gym wasn't 70 degrees in the middle of summer. They weren't able to cool it. The company listened to the customer's complaints and frustrations, and we ripped out a brand new system because we care and we wanted to be held accountable for the results.
Wow.
We listened to what they said, and we actually put in a brand new system at our expense. And it actually remedied the situation. They gave them the floor that they wanted and what they desired, but it also provided comfort cooling.
Yeah.
That's the kind of commitment that that Limbach has had throughout its history to the customer and doing what it said.
Mm. You have given us just what I know is one of the many, many, many stories that talk about that spirit and the values of 1901 and what it looks like, you know, now. And Katie, I know that you, and especially in this past year, you've been building out what it means to be a part of a company that's been around for 125 years. And I'm curious, you've heard Jay's story, but I know you have collected so many stories from across the company. What surprised you most as you dug into our history? And then as a follow-up, how does knowing that deep history help you shape the way we connect with our customers and investors?
Yeah. I have a similar theme to Matt and Jay here too. As you could imagine, the marketing and comms team has been spending a lot of time digging into our history and kind of who we were back then, because we want to celebrate who we were and garner that excitement about where we're going too. So one thing that's remained consistent and I have a lot of pride behind is our values. Who we were back in the 80s is consistent with who we are today. And our people and our purpose has always been at our core. I actually had the opportunity, and Jay connected me with him, a past CEO, and I got the chance to learn a little bit about him and what Limbach was like during his tenure. And he was sharing stories, but my main takeaway was we're all driven by something bigger, and that's how do we show up for our customers and communities and our people. And the stories that I heard that Steve shared remain true, and I could share so many of what I'm hearing today too. And we're not just keeping our buildings cool or comfortable. We are actually creating those environments that create those life-saving surgeries or keep people connected. It's so much bigger than just mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems. And it's all driven by our people, purpose, and truly our core values.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we're serving building owners now in this evolved state, but with the same values at the core. And I think it begins with perception in a lot of ways. We've put significant investment into defining and branding who we are and what we do, and with good reason. And this refresh is not just a new look, it's a reflection of what you're saying, of how far Limbach has evolved, and yet what we've stayed true to. So I think our evolved messaging captures this transformation perfectly. And I just want to read this aloud for our listeners because we're going to spend some time here. Limbach is a leading building system solutions firm delivering mission-critical systems that support life's most important moments. We specialize in revitalizing and maintaining building systems in existing facilities, ensuring buildings are always ready to perform when it matters most. And here comes my favorite part. This tagline seals the deal. I love it. Critical systems ahead of the moment. So I really want to, Katie, understand your work in this, because you've had a really key role in the language that we've chosen to represent who we are and what we do. So tell me, our new tagline, critical systems ahead of the moment, it captures both precision and purpose. What does that mean to you personally, now having talked to all these people and heard all of these stories? And then how does it reflect the promise we're making to our customers?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it highlights our commitment to our customers and all of our stakeholders. So, and it reflects the stories that I've seen time and time again. And I want to break it out into two parts if I can. So when I say that we focus on critical systems, that requires a lot of technical expertise. We have extremely experienced field and craft teams on our team. It takes that unique skill set to be able to work within these mission critical facilities, such as healthcare, data centers, industrial and manufacturing. And our goal is to keep those systems truly ahead of the moment. Mm-hmm. We don't want our customers or the facility managers to have to call us or spend time in the mechanical room on the weekends. We want them to be able to be with their families. And the goal of the tagline is the story behind, we're going to take a look at your systems proactively and keeping you ahead of that moment, keeping you ahead of that emergency. And that's our commitment to them. And that's our commitment to how we run ourselves as a business too.
Let's build on that.
Yeah, do you mind if I just piggyback
on what
Katie just talked about? And this was mentioned, you know, earlier in this segment, but the fact that our systems provide the environment for hospitals to perform critical life-saving operations, or people in their darkest hour remaining comfortable while they're getting a chemo treatment. Wow. We provide environments that families can go to a theme park, and you know, it strengthens a family unit because we really, really make a difference in the communities. The customers we work for, this whole theme of mission critical, we touch people in very, very, very special ways. And as Katie said, our customers are dependent on reliability of their systems, performance of their systems. We view ourselves as a fiduciary for our clients, making sure that they invest their money smartly. Don't do things you shouldn't, but do things that you have to. And proactive spend versus reactive spend, we believed oftentimes will reduce the total spend.
Let's stay with you on that, because both you and Katie have talked about the people that keep Limbach running, which is our crews in the field. And they get a front row seat, and they're also the change generator. They're doing both and when it comes to working with our customers and making sure that they are maintaining these critical systems ahead of the moment. So from your perspective, how does this shift from being seen as a contractor to being recognized as a true building systems partner change the way our crews are connecting with our customers?
It's a great question, and it's fundamental to who we are today. When I started with the business, we were a really good large mechanical contractor. Mm-hmm. And the way contractors operate is they sell a construction job, they build it, and then they go away until the customer needs something else built. We also had a service department that would sell a service agreement, and we would go into a facility, perform preventive maintenance services, and we would go away and we would tell the client until our next preventive maintenance visit, we would say, give us a call and we'll respond within 2 or 4 hours to your emergency, but we weren't present. Mm. Today, our goal is to be an extension of their staff, to be embedded in their facility, and to be able to respond in real time. Oftentimes, our presence becomes such a consistent reality in the customer's business that we out-survive their facility staff. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, we know things about their systems that they don't. We become their trusted advisor. The word trust is something we can never betray. I wish our customers could see how serious of our teams and our employees take that trust that's given to us. And we have to earn that, obviously, but I'm telling you, there's lots of proactive things done with accounts. And when there's a problem on an account, it's like the firehouse, you know, the firemen's coming down the pole. We parachute teams in to help our clients through some of their darkest times.
Yeah.
But our job's to try to avoid those, and we do everything we can to make it, to provide that consistent reliability of the systems and to keep the systems operating efficiently.
I think the principles that you just talked about also apply not only from an employee and a customer perspective, but from the growth and capital market side too. So Matt, I'd like to hear from you. Why was now the right time for a brand refresh and this, and communicating the impact of this transformation that Jay just shared from contractor to building solutions partner? And then also, how does this refreshed message help potential new acquisitions understand the long-term value of being part of this organization?
You know, now is the right time to be doing this, I think, really for two reasons. Certainly, in the context of being a public company, perception, you know, matters a lot, probably even more so than when you're a private company. You've just got a greater number of constituencies who have a bigger voice. And I think people are just generally conditioned to want to think, as a public company, you're being promotional or you're sort of marketing yourself aggressively. So the intersection of the brand refresh with this being the 125th anniversary, I think, brings some street credibility and some credence to the timeline. Mm-hmm. Versus trying to do this in an off year, for example, where it feels like we've got nothing other than, you know, this to talk about. So there was a legitimate business reason to really put the new brand and the new messaging out into the market and explain to people what we're doing. I think it's also obvious that this is, you know, now the fourth, fifth, sixth year of our business model evolution that started, you know, in the late teens in 2018, 2019. And I think we have, you know, more than certainly at any time I can remember in the last 22 years, a greater, deeper, and more consistent sense of who we are as a company. And so with that sort of internal feeling having solidified in the last couple of years on the back of the company's success, almost reinventing itself, I think it is a particularly opportune time to remind people both inside and outside the company who we are, what we're doing, to update and reflect that messaging given how much has changed over the last couple of years, as well as all the things that have not changed in many respects, and just make sure that there's as little ambiguity about that as possible and that the message is as crisp and clear as it can be.
So and the second part I tagged onto that was, how does this message help them understand long-term value of being part of this organization, right? Because I think you touched on that. There's more clarity, there's a strong direction. Is there anything else you would add to that?
So, you know, one of the phrases I've heard over the years from various, you know, people inside the company is that when we're in front of a customer, you know, all of our competitors present the apple and we present the orange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been a very successful approach vis-a-vis running the business every day. Mm-hmm. But I think we've seen it also be a very successful approach in the context of acquisition activity. And, you know, we compete for deals and transactions and businesses with, you know, other mechanical peers and with other parties. And so when we sit in front of a management team and an ownership group for the first time, and we try and explain who we are and why somebody should partner with us and trust their second, third generation family businesses, in some cases, you know, to the Limbaugh brand and the Limbaugh platform, presenting, you know, the orange is very important. And I think really does highlight how we're different, no differently than if we were pitching a retrofit project or anything else. I think, you know, really being able to describe who we are, why we're unique, why we're sort of worthy of taking over, you know, ownership and possession and care of an owner's business, I think is a great thing to be able to do. And the brand refresh and the messaging and making sure that it is crisp and clear, that gives us a lot of ammunition to be competitive in the acquisition part of the business as well.
Yeah, what you've just shared, we're not only thinking about the present and what our current message is and how we're showing up for customers and even our people and potential future people, employees, but we're also thinking about the future. Each of you have talked about how 125 years is going to keep going. And I want to know now, what is that next 125 years going to look like? And Katie, I'd love to go back to you on this one. How do you envision us bringing both customers and employees along in this next chapter?
Yeah. Specifically for our 125th anniversary, I'm really excited to celebrate across all stakeholders. We've been been working with customers for a really long time. I can think of 40, 50 year plus relationships, and I'm excited to use this opportunity to celebrate our milestone as a company and also celebrate the milestone we have with these customers and how we've been able to grow and evolve and better our communities together. And similar approach with our employees. Like Jay, I know you've been with the company for a really long time, and there's others who are celebrating milestones. So how exciting to be able to celebrate our company milestone with an employee milestone of creating great opportunities for them and sharing those stories all throughout next year.
So let's get specific about some of those stories. Matt, acquisitions like Jake Marshall, Acme, Ken Island, they've added incredible depth. Which growth moment, or to use Katie's word, milestone in your time here stands out most as transformational for our customers in particular?
Customers is sort of an interesting angle to it. I think there are maybe two data points that reflect the impact there. One, I think, was the Jake Marshall transaction in December of 21. It was the first acquisition the company had made in over 20 years. For me, that was the moment where I started to think of us as being both an institutional and an industrial contractor. And having new capabilities in a new geography with a different type of customer. That transaction maybe opened up our eyes institutionally to a part of the market we really hadn't thought about, a set of capabilities and resources that just hadn't been front of mind for us for 70 or 80 years at that point. And that partnered with just, I think, the momentum of getting a deal done after a challenging period of time for the business from the SPAC transaction that brought us, you know, to being a public company in the middle of 2016 through, you know, some strategic restructuring in the late teens and then the pandemic to get something done in late 21, I think was a great kickstart to everything that we've been doing and that we've done since. And so, you know, that it was just sort of an opportunity for customers across the company, I think, to engage with a Limbaugh that felt like it had new and improved capabilities and a little bit of swagger in its stride. The second, it is still very much happening now. And I think the work that's taking place at LFPS, you know, out of Nashville and elsewhere is very exciting, and it's happening in real time. And, you know, we're now doing things for customers across the country that I don't think anybody thought we'd be doing 2 and 3 years ago. And I even wonder whether we're surprised a little bit by the success that we're enjoying right now. It's a, you know, a great team, and they're going to have a great couple of years here as we figure out how to optimize this. But the ability to really solve solutions for customers, both in the mechanical room and outside the mechanical room, across campuses, across facilities, in analytical ways as well as mechanical ways, I think is really exciting and really compelling, and it'll be very interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities in new offerings and new geographies and new, but I also want to touch on things that have stayed the same. And so Jay, I think you have a great story that shows that people are at the heart of our impact. And when we think about Limbach's next 125 years, I don't think that will change, that people will continue to be the heart of our impact. And so
I agree 100%.
I mean, it's been the story for these past, this past centennial. So it's going to keep going. And I want to hear from you, from service rep to regional president, how has Limbach's investment in people shaped not just careers, but customer outcomes too? It has a wide reach.
Well, I want to piggyback on what Matt just said about LFPS, our professional services team. One of the things they do is we get heavily involved in not just traditional mechanical contracting services, construction or retrofit projects, daily operations, but we also engage with our clients in professional services. We offer advisory services. We can be an owner's rep. If they have already selected a contractor or they have a preferred installation company, we can help advise them and oversee those services on their behalf. Occasionally our customers will just need a tech for 2 months, and we can augment their staff because they had someone unexpectedly leave. That team is very universal. The other thing that's changing a great deal, Kate, is that we used to be we were focused on each market like it was its own business. Nationally now, we're starting to recognize we've developed enough scale that we're starting to take on a regional and national presence with our clients. So we can start solving at the enterprise level, not just at the local level of our customers' organizations. We're building relationships that make that feasible, and it allows us to provide consistent offerings throughout our footprint and throughout our customers' footprint. And we're finding that to be very, very meaningful to our clients. You think about 125 years, World War, depressions, pandemic, all the things that the company has survived. And, I've been with the company for 35 years, kind of in the interim. I just think back. Katie mentioned Steve Wurzel, a previous CEO, and there were leaders before him that helped take us through all the different evolutions of the company. It's so cool now to think about the talent that we're bringing in and the challenges and where they're going to take this business. Limbach started in 1901 as a sheet metal roofing company. We evolved to a mechanical contractor, one of the largest in the country, and now we're a building solutions firm that wants to be the owner's trusted advisor. The sky's the limit as to where we're going to take this, and it's just so exciting to think about what's ahead for the next generation of leaders that are going to follow in our place.
In what you've just said, the foundation of it all, our people, and again, this tagline keeps coming back, critical systems ahead of the moment, but it's really this higher purpose that I'm hearing in what you're saying. And Katie, our teams rally behind this higher purpose every day, keeping those critical systems running for the people who depend on them. So how do you see that purpose reflected in the stories that we're sharing for our 125th anniversary?
Oh, it's so cool to hear these stories. And I get the opportunity when meeting with a handful of our own employees I'm meeting with a project manager who actually delivered her babies at the hospital that she's building an expansion with.
Oh my goodness.
How cool is that? For me personally, when I started, Jay shared the story of how we're working and we're going to help cure cancer one day by the work that we do. And my dad actually needed those facilities. So the passion and the purpose and the why we show up every day is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I have goosebumps. This is such a powerful example of the impact that this company has had on all of us, myself included. And I want to just recap a couple of my takeaways from hearing from each of you as we close out our time together. Our 125-year legacy shows resilience. It also, I mean, Jay, you talked about that. The fact our company has survived, and not only survived, but thrived. It also shows adaptability. We're moving to the point that we need to be at in order to keep thriving and keep providing great opportunities for our people. And our new identity reflects who we are today, but it also reflects our future. And our future is about focus. I heard that from each of you, that we're focusing on the sectors and the systems that matter most. And ultimately, I love that we ended with this and that you each talked about it. Our people power it all. So I want to thank you for giving me those takeaways, giving those takeaways to our listeners to think about, to chew on. And just a shout out to our listeners. If you want to learn more about Limbach's journey, and you want to follow along with our 125th anniversary, you can visit us at our website, limbachinc.com, or you can follow us on social media. You can stay tuned for our extra special anniversary podcast series, Inside Mission Critical Systems, 125 Years of Progress. I want to thank the three of you for joining us on this final episode of season 5 of Limbach Unlocked. We're going to be back soon with our anniversary series. But until then, thank you. And for our listeners, remember, critical systems are always ahead of the moment.